come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmuck with you for the next 1 hour to talk New York Giants and NFL football. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Those are the two ways to get in touch and chat over the course of today's program. Thanks for joining us, everybody. As the Super Bowl news and controversy and fun dissipates now on the Wednesday after the game, we can start moving on, looking forward to the offseason. My draft work officially began in earnest yesterday. I've gone through a lot of the quarterbacks, and I'm just going through scouting reports right now. I haven't actually watched any video on them yet, but I'm going through running backs now. I've gotten through the top seven or eight. So my goal is to get through all the positions by the time we leave for the combine in a couple of weeks. We do expect to be out there the week of the combine, that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I would expect we'll do the program from out there on location for the first time on either Thursday or Friday, maybe Wednesday. We'll see how it goes when we actually get in. So a special Big Blue Kickoff on location. I'll try to set up in-person spots with many of our draft experts, whether it's Rob Rang, who we had last year, Dane Brugler we'll try to get on. We'll try to get Matt Miller on again from Bleacher Report. Last year we got guys like Bill Polian for interviews, Peter King for interviews, Gil Brandt. So we'll try to get those types of guys as well when we're out there at the Combine. It should be a heck of a lot of fun as we start getting ready for the NFL Draft, which, by the way, is still, let me see, all of February, all of March, most of April, almost 3 months away. So we got some time. But since the Combine's coming up, I figure we'll do draft, get to the Combine, and then we'll kind of shift gears to free agency when you get to that lull period between the Combine and the draft, because free agency does begin in March, and that's really when the fun of the NFL offseason begins. So that's how we handle the next few weeks. Of course, any NFL news, we can touch on that as well. One piece of news in the NFC East that just broke. Cowboys running back Joseph Randle got arrested for marijuana possession. So a rough year for him continues. At least it wasn't underwear this time, as somebody else on Twitter put it. So as the Cowboys decide what they want to do with DeMarco Murray, I think that's an interesting thing. With them, Randle would be the guy that could take over, depending if they look in free agency to somebody else or draft somebody. So that could impact the Cowboys thinking perhaps on DeMarco Murray. And, of course, the Giants have a lot of free agent worries themselves moving forward. But today, the way I want to look at this in a way to get ready for the draft, for NFL free agency, is what is the Giants' biggest need in terms of position? And I think the best way to look at this, rather than looking at the Giants' weaknesses, let's take a look at this from an opposite angle, because we've talked about all that before. What are the Giants' biggest strengths in terms of position groups, in terms of talent, in terms of where their roster is set up? And when you figure out where their biggest strengths are, not saying you cross those positions and spots off the list when you get to free agency and you get to the draft, but you certainly don't prioritize them. So I think it's important as we move forward here to figure out where the Giants strongest, and maybe that's where they push that aside and say, you know what, heading into next year, if we head into 2015 where we are in those spots, we'll be okay. So let's go through it. Offense first, and I think the Giants' offense right now is their strength. They struggled the first half of the year, probably up until game 10, I'd say, maybe 11. And then they kind of turned it on the last five, six games. Now, again, those were against some poor defensive teams. They had the Rams mixed in there, who are a good defensive team, so that doesn't necessarily count. But the Jaguars, the Titans, the Redskins, the Eagles, these aren't exactly defensive stalwarts. You even throw the Cowboys and the Colts into there, who they play in the second half of the season. Not exactly defensive monsters. So take that into consideration. However, specifically on a position-by-position basis, let's go through this kind of quickly. I'm not going to spend a half an hour on this preaching to you, but I at least want to kind of get out what my thoughts are here as the Giants set up their offseason. Now, obviously the quarterback position is all set. Eli Manning, under contract. My guess is he'll be extended in the offseason if he and Jerry Reese and Eli's agent and John Mara can come to a fair agreement and fair middle ground. He will be here for probably another half a decade or so. So the Giants are fine there. I thought Ryan Nassib, quite frankly, came on pretty strong as a backup quarterback in the preseason and in practice the second half of training camp. Now, will that transfer to regular season games? I don't know. And there's really going to be no way to find out unless Eli does get hurt. You know, we'll see. You hope that never happens, but I don't think the Giants are in the market for a backup quarterback, and I think the days of carrying three quarterbacks is at an end as well. I think it's going to be Nassib and Eli 1-2 for at least the next couple of years. Running back position. It's interesting. Rashad Jennings, I think, if he can stay healthy, is good enough to be a starter. Now, can Rashad Jennings stay healthy for 16 games and be a full-time back and not get hurt? I don't know if we know the answer to that question yet, to be quite honest with you. So, how much can you count on Rashad Jennings? I'm willing to count on him, but I want a good backup plan. So what's your backup plan? Is Andre Williams good enough? He came on at the end of last season. Is Andre Williams, to me, a guy right now that I would consider a Pro Bowl caliber back? No, probably not. But can he develop into that? Sure. He's only in his first year. I like the fact that I saw improvement from him over the course of the year. He became a better player, and as a rookie, that's what you have to ask for. He's a guy that got here, learned to be a lot more patient in his running style, get to the line, and get through. I know he worked a lot on pass protection, which I think he's pretty good at now, and he also worked a lot on being a receiver out of the backfield. Now, he didn't make quite as much progress in that area as you would have liked. Did he get better? Yes. Is he ever going to become, you know, LeSean McCoy and Jamal Charles catching balls out of the backfield? No, probably not. But can he still get better in that area? Sure. So I think going into next year, if you have a combination of Jennings and Williams as your 1-2 punch, I think you're in good shape. What I wouldn't mind seeing the Giants doing is adding a third down scat back type, a Darren Sproles type. If you want to stay in the division, Roy Helu, Lance Dunbar, that type of player that can give the Giants a change of pace, maybe make a big play in the screen game, in the draw game, come in on third down a little bit when you want a weapon. You can have some packages for him. I think adding that as a third spoke in your running back formula wouldn't certainly be a bad thing. And I think that's something the Giants will look to do at some point, whether it's in the draft or free agency, trying to add that third running back you can count on. I'm not willing to hand that job to Michael Cox. I think you let him compete and earn that spot in the offseason, but I'm not going to hand it to him. He did show flashes again this year, but, you know, he's coming off an injury as well. So that's something you have to keep an eye on. And, you know, Peyton Hillis, we'll see if the Giants decide to bring him back at all. He had concussion issues again, something he's had over the course of his career. I'm not sure the Giants want to commit to him again for another season. But time will tell. We will see. As for wide receiver, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. is fantastic. Reuben Randle, without getting too far into his progress this year, we'll save that for another show. I think he did get better. I think he's proven he can be a good top-end third wide receiver in this league. I think at the end of the year he showed, you know what, maybe he can be a reliable too. Let's see that transfer the next season. Let's see him do it consistently. Victor Cruz, we'll see. I think he'll come back and be okay. The patella tendon's a very serious injury. It's a long rehab process. How quickly will he get back to 100% where he looks like Victor Cruz? I don't know. Let's see how he looks at the start of training camp. And I know we're going to get a lot of questions about Victor, guys. I get that. But we're not going to know until the start of training camp where he's at and how he's looking. He's not going to do a lot in OTAs. He said that to me myself in an interview saw on Giants.com earlier in the winter. So we're going to have to wait till July and August. That stinks. I get it. But we're probably not going to know until then. And I wouldn't be shocked if he sat out a couple preseason games too. But again, we're looking way ahead and projecting here. Let's see what happens. So I honestly think the Giants aren't going to add another big-time wide receiver. Do you want to maybe add a fourth guy to complement? Sure. You got Sue Harris, who's coming off that injury. The Giants will give him a chance to earn a spot there this upcoming season. Washington is a guy, obviously, that Giant fans hope grows. You want to give him a chance to earn a spot as maybe the fourth or fifth or sixth wide receiver. If you carry six, probably not. And I think you bring those guys back to compete. Maybe you bring another veteran here or there, kind of the way they brought Manningham back last year and let him compete there. I'm okay with that. But I don't think you're making any big additions at wide receiver. I think the Beckham, Randle, Cruz is going to be your three primary guys in that rotation at wideout. Now, tight end. This is to me is an interesting question. It really is. Because Larry Donnell showed some promise last year as a wide receiver. But there were issues. Assignments still from time to time. Drop passes at the end of the year a couple times. Those hands are pretty reliable. Fumbled in the middle of the year. Is that problem solved? They got better at the end of the year. Blocking still needs to get better for Larry Donnell. Will the Giants be comfortable bringing him in as their undisputed number one tight end? It's an interesting question. I think he'll have a chance to compete and win the job, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw another veteran brought in, or even a young guy, to compete with him for playing time. Daniel Fells did pretty well this year when he had the opportunity, and Adrian Robinson is still developing, and you hope he can try to earn his way onto the field this year. And don't sleep on Cunningham, by the way. He's a guy the Giants had in camp at the end of last year. They kept him on the practice squad all year. He's in great shape. He's a physical specimen. He's got a lot of speed. Cunningham's a guy that could make some noise this year in the Giants tight end battle that nobody really talks about. The Giants coaching staff does like the kid as well. Very good kid. But I think getting a guy that can be a full-time, consistent blocking tight end, that can be an okay receiver, fit into the system, that could be the type of guy I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants add in the offseason. Or maybe they think Daniel Fells can fill that role. I think it'll be interesting to see. Then you have the offensive line. Now, here's the tricky thing about the offensive line. You're already almost getting reinforcements by having Jeff Schwartz healthy. So he was a big free agent addition last year, but he never really played. So by getting him back this season, it's almost like you're adding your big free agent all over again. And that's going to make a difference. But who's your fifth starter? It sounds like the preference is to have Weston Richburg play center. If that's the case, does J.D. Walton play guard? Does Walton stay at center and Richburg play guard again? You know, Pugh and Beattie, I think, are your tackles. They're both going to be starters regardless. Jeff Schwartz will be your starter at one of the other guard spots. So who's your fifth guy? If Richburg, Beattie, Pugh, and Schwartz, you're all penciling in or putting in an ink even, is Walton your fifth guy? Do you add somebody that can be a quote-unquote difference maker in the draft or free agency that can be your fifth guy? I would lean towards an addition because you want to see some improvement from last year, and I'm not sure if just putting in Schwartz is going to be enough to get to that power running game that Coach Coughlin wants. I think the pass protection last year was fine, and we knew going into there John Jerry would be an okay pass protector, and he did a good job with it, but much like he did in Miami, if Pro Football Focus's stats are to be believed, he struggled blocking in the run game. So I think you got to try to find a way to get the run game better. So I think seeing an addition in the offensive line would not be that big of a surprise. And, you know, John Mara, Tom Coughlin talked about that, and Jerry Reese talked about it as well in their end-of-season press conferences. Now, quickly going to the defense. Defensive line, I think if JPP comes back onto the franchise, you have Jonathan Hankins there. DeMontre Moore will be a rotational pass rusher. But who are the rest of the guys going to be? Mathias Kiwanuka didn't have that productive of a year. The Giants will make a decision on him. Who knows? Right now he's under contract. You have to expect he's going to be here. Mike Patterson's a veteran. Is Marcus Kuhn somebody you want to keep trying to develop? Colin Jenkins is a veteran who has 1 year left on his deal. So I do think you'll see some new faces on the defensive line. And look, despite the fact the Giants finish in the top 10 in sacks, you can never have enough pass rushers. And we've seen in the past, even when Jerry Reese has a good number of pass rushers in tow, he's added guys in the draft. So I think if the Giants get up there and pick a 9 and you see a big-time pass rusher there, there's a good chance he's going to take them. I'm not sure you're finding a big-time pass rusher in free agency. They're usually too expensive, to be quite honest with you. So I think if you're going to go big-time pass rusher, which I wouldn't be shocked, I think you can go in the draft. Linebacker is a position you could see a lot of flux in. Devon Kennard and Jameel McClain are back. We'll see about Paysinger and Herzlick. Beeson's under contract, but again, he's always hurt. Can you count on him? So I think you're going to see new faces at linebacker. Safeties, everyone's afraid except for Nat Burhey and Cooper Taylor. So that's certainly not your strongest position. Cornerback, I think you're in pretty good shape. You have Prince. McBride's back for a second year. He signed a 2-year deal. And then, obviously, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. So I think you're in decent shape at corner. If you bring back Walter Thurman, that's even better. So I think the Giants' strongest positions all the way around here, to be quite honest with you, on defense is corner. On offense, I think it's your skill position groups. I think it's quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. So I think the groups that you need the most addition slash improvement to are the O-line, D-line, safety, linebacker, and tight end, kind of maybe. So who would I name the strongest group on the team? Look, the cop-out answer is to say quarterback. You have Eli Manning, but that's too easy, so I'm not going to do that. That's boring. I'm going to say I think the strongest spot you have on this team right now, I'm having an inner debate here. I'm not going to say wide receiver because of the Victor Cruz injury. All right? I'm not going to go there. And the Jennings injury at running back makes that a little bit of a question mark too. So I think on offense, it's quarterback. And on defense, you know what? And it might be on the whole roster. Because I think they'll figure out a way to get Walter Thurman back too. And I know that's an assumption. I don't like making those. But just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go cornerback. I think Dominique Rodgers-Kawani and Prince are both excellent players. I think both will stay healthy next year. I don't think Prince's thing is a chronic deal where he's going to get hurt a lot. McBride, when he played, was good. Can he stay healthy? We'll see. Now it's 2 years where he couldn't finish the season. And then you have Walter Thurman if you get him back. So I think the Giants' cornerback position is actually pretty set. And, again, corners are expensive, so I'm not sure if that's a direction the Giants are going to go to improve. So I think that's where you're set. Those are where you have your strengths on this Giants roster. You're looking at quarterback, receiver, running back, cornerback. I think those are the four spots where you're pretty good right now. And you don't have to add a super big impact player at any one of those positions heading into next year. The other positions, tight ends kind of, eh, we'll see in the middle. But I think all the other positions are up for grabs. You could see a big addition at any of those spots. Whatever fits the Giants, value and need, wherever they meet the best in free agency or wherever they pick in the draft, which kind of sets up where we're going in the offseason. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. That's how you get in touch with us over the next 42 minutes as we take your calls and talk some Giants football. Let's start with Max in the Bronx first. What's going on, Max?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing all right, Max. What's going on with you?
Come on. The way I look at this is, like, I think offensive line is definitely a need, one of your bigger needs, but I feel like they're almost an offensive lineman away.
Okay.
Whereas in line, I feel like safety, linebacker, and pass rusher, you need multiple. So I don't know how you deal with that, because I feel like offensive line, like, you need a guy. But once you get a guy, I think you're fine. But, like, I look at them as needing more than one safety. Probably more than one pass rusher. And depending on what you do with Beeson, maybe another more than one linebacker.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. You know, Max, I'm not sure you need more than one pass rusher. You know, you have JPP, you have DeMontre Moore, and I forgot to mention Robert Ayers, which is my fault. He's a guy that's back, and he's going to play one of those defensive end spots. So I don't think you need to add more than one pass rusher, to be honest with you. I think what you'd like to have, and I think you're right, you'll probably need more than one safety. You're probably going to need more than one linebacker. But I think if you focus in on two impact guys on the offensive line and the defensive line, I think that might be enough.
Let me ask you a question. I was watching, obviously, watching the Super Bowl, and the guy that stuck out to me as a guy that, not him specifically, but his play type, is Jamie Collins.
He's a good player.
The way he played.
Yeah.
He looked like the type of guy to me that the Giants could really use. Is there a guy in the draft or potentially a decent price of free agency that would be available? Because I watched him play, and I felt like a player like him would be really nice.
You know, the funny thing, Max, guys like Jamie Collins, who is a legitimate three-down linebacker, he can stop the run, he can cover guys out of the backfield. He actually had a rough Super Bowl. He didn't play his best game. But if you would have watched him in the AFC Championship game or in the divisional playoffs, he played really well, and he did a much better job covering guys out of the backfield. They didn't get him like Marshawn Lynch did in the Super Bowl. But yes, I agree with you. I think a guy like Jamie Collins is perfect. Unfortunately, with the way college football is set up now, those type of linebackers are few and far between. You're getting a lot of either the pass rushers that come off the end that can't cover, or you're getting the really small guys that can run, but they don't have the size to fill the hole and take on a lineman and make a play. So those guys are hard to come by. I haven't done a ton of linebacker work yet. I know Shaq Thompson's a guy a lot of people like. out of Washington, but he's only 230 pounds. So can he sit there and really support against the run well? I have to do more work on that, to be honest with you. There's a couple of the linebackers I know of the outside variety that can fit into that mold, but let me put it this way. I agree with you, and I think the Giants need to find a player like that right now, and hopefully in the next week or so I'll have a different answer for you. I don't have a good name of a guy that fits that profile.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Hey, appreciate the call, Max. Thanks a lot. Good stuff. And look, a guy like Jamie Collins, again, hard to come by. You know, he's a rare player, and there aren't a lot of players like that in the league that can play linebacker all three downs and get the job done. You know, those are the guys that go to Pro Bowls. Those are the guys that are all pros. You know, Sean Lee's a guy in Dallas that can do that, but he's never healthy. I mean, what's the difference between him and Beeson? You know, he can't stay healthy either. Michael Kendricks in Philly. That's a great example of somebody that is a three-down legitimate excellent linebacker. I think he was a second-round pick, if memory serves. I don't think he was a late first. I'm pretty sure he was a second-round pick. So that's the deal. Finding a player like that to be that three-down, every-down linebacker certainly would not be a bad thing. That can be a dynamic game-changer on that level. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the calls and say what up to Nugs in Minneapolis. What's going on, Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Now, you guys got blasted by snow, right, Nugs?
Yeah. We got about 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but, you know, it's worse than 0 inches. So.
That is true. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on what we're talking about today. I think on defense, we just hired Spags. I'm satisfied with the hiring. I'm not gonna say I'm ecstatic. I'm satisfied with it. It's a comfortability thing with me. But I think we need to give him all of the weapons that he needs to be successful.
Now, Nugs, the question though is, what do you think you should prioritize that he needs to be successful?
Linebacker, middle linebacker.
So you want somebody to play that Antonio Pierce role?
Yes. Okay. And I see Beeson he's still under contract.
Yes, he is.
So seeing that he's still under contract, I'm gonna renege on my comments last week, which was throw the baby out with the bathtub and the bathwater. As far as Beeson was concerned, I think we need to go find another experienced middle linebacker to come in and take his job, and he can be a nice change of pace guy. The two dudes that come to mind for me are Brandon Spikes, because he's a Belichick coached guy, so he obviously can take coaching. You know what I mean?
Now, Nugs, and I agree with you. And the thing about Brandon Spikes, he will immediately improve your run defense. He is a downhill guy. He's really good against the run. His cover skills, you know, they can use some improvement. I'm not going to lie to you. But
I
agree with you. He would make a difference immediately as a middle linebacker run defender. No question.
Yes, and a guy who I've watched here in Minnesota who's also a free agency that will be cheap and will not break the bank and is also a thumper against the run and has better coverage skills than he gets credit for, Jasper Brinkley. I like this guy. If you look at the Minnesota defense, he's a very unsung type of guy, but he was always in the thick of things. He's a good tackler. He wraps guys up. He brings guys down to the ground.
That's a good name. That is a good name, Nugs. I will keep my eye on him as we move forward.
Yeah, and as far as our safeties are concerned, I would say it's time to go. It's time to part ways with Antrell Roll. And I know this isn't going to be popular with Giants fans, but I just think he's lost a step. I think I've over the last couple of years, I think he does bring a leadership quality to our defense, but I think that leadership should be placed more on the linebacker position, because I just think safeties are too far away from the quarterback and the action and the trenches to really be the leaders of your defense. You know, maybe it's just the way I'm just old school like that, but I just think the quarterback of your offense is the quarterback, and the quarterback of your defense is your linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Your middle linebacker. He's the one who's getting the call. He's the one who's seeing the little nuances at the line to put your D-line in place and get everybody set up as far as your front seven.
Yeah, Nugs, I think that's fair, but I think you also need a guy in your back end to line guys up. And I mentioned this the other day. I'm not sure if you're listening, but when Spags was here in 07 and 08, he had a guy that Giant fans, you know, oftentimes complained to me about, James Butler, who, you know, wasn't the most physically blessed guy in the world. And he, look, and he got beaten coverage sometimes, but he loved him because he was able to line guys up, get him in the right spot, and be that quarterback of the secondary. And I do think it's important. Now, again, whether it's on Charles Roll or not, they will need somebody at that safety spot to be a very smart, intelligent player to line guys up and get them in the right spot. Now, I think if Roll and the Giants can find a good middle number, because like you, and much like Roll said, he did not have his best year last year. Now, is that age-related, or is that related to the fact that, you know, guys are dropping left and right, and he try to cover for people? I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know. So I think if they can come to a reasonable agreement, I think Coach Coughlin would like to have Roll back, but they'll have to figure out the money. And, you know, that's always the bottom line.
I agree. But I think that what's going to happen in the free agency period is somebody's going to see Roll as one of the two players to put them over the top, and they're gonna roll up the Brinks truck, and you know, it's going to be time to lose Antrell Roll. I think that I liked Cooper Taylor when he first came out, but I agree with you guys where you said he didn't really have the mass yet. He wasn't ready for the NFL pounding. He's been there a couple years, and I think it's just time for our defense to get younger. You know what I mean? On offense, I would like to see the young kid get the running back job as the starter. I want to see Williams as the starter and Rashard Jennings as the change of pace back. I'm not saying throwing out the baby with the bathwater as far as Rashard Jennings is concerned, but I just think he needs to be the veteran change of pace guy. I think that if you give him too many carries, it's been proven the last few couple years that he's just not a guy who's prone to staying healthy. You know what I mean?
And I hear you, but honestly, in my heart of hearts, I still believe right now that Jennings is a better player than Andre Williams in pretty much every aspect of the game. I think he is.
You.
So honestly, so next year, if you want to like split him 50-50 to make sure you keep Jennings healthy, I think that's fine. Make him a 1A and a 1B. But I definitely wouldn't give Williams 17, 18 carries and give Jennings 7 or 8 carries. I wouldn't go that direction.
I would agree with you more of a 50-50 type thing. And it's really tomatoes, tomatoes. Whoever starts is whoever takes the first snap of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but which doesn't matter.
Really, I just don't want to see a situation like last year where it's like, oh, you know, Rashad, you know, he's my guy. He's giving these bomb speeches at the beginning of the game, and he's there for 3 weeks, and he's down. Our running game's gone. Teams are zeroing in on us, and it's just that's been the case the last few years. And I know we're in a win now mentality. Now this is what I wanted. Now this is what I wanted to ask you,
sure.
And then I'll take your answer off the line. I know we've got Nassib, right? Mm-hmm. I know we've got the ninth pick. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns have 2 first-round picks and a quarterback in rehab.
That's correct. That's correct.
I would love to see something where we package up Nassib, move down in the draft, get some more picks, and get an O-line, because I think our O-line is one fresh young stud away from being a decent O-line enough to take us deep into the playoffs. I think we would have depth with some of the veterans that we have, but I don't want to rely on them. I want to bring in somebody young as far as that's concerned. And what do you think about later on in the draft, maybe picking up a blocking tight end / H-back? I know it didn't work so good with the guy we drafted out of Wisconsin a couple of years ago and had to let him go. I forget what his name was, but
Travis Beckham Jr., baby.
Yeah, Travis Beckham. Yeah, I would just love to see us get that H-back type where it's like, okay, here's a guy, he's mainly our fullback, but we could also flex him out and get matchups in like a makeshift 2 tight end type deal or whatever. But, you know, thanks for taking my call. I'll take your answer offline, though.
Thanks, Dungs. No problem. In terms of the H-back tight end thing, I think Donnell's your guy you line up outside and get mismatches, to be honest with you. He's not an H-back now. I get that because he's not a guy that can lead block and do that sort of stuff. But I think he's the guy that's going to get you mismatches outside. I think what you need to add is a guy that can play on the line at the end of the line of scrimmage as a blocking tight end to help not only in the passing game but in the running game, blocking in the run. So that would be my priority in terms of a tight end. Frankly, I don't think – I'm just trying to think back to what the Packers do. They don't really play their guy like an H-back. They don't have that – I mean, Finley did line up in the backfield a little bit, I guess. But they use Kuhn for that too. I'm not sure if this offense really is an H-back type of offense. But that's a good question. I'll think about that some more. As for your other question, the Browns own the 12th and 19th picks, in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, if they come to you and say, we're going to trade you the 12th and 19th picks for your 9th pick, and basically you're moving down three spots and picking up an extra first rounder, guess what? You make the trade. I mean, you just do. Because you're still picking 12th, you're going to get a good player at 12, probably almost as good as you could get at 9, and you're getting an extra first round pick up from it. Now, do I think the Browns are going to try to, you know, offer their 19th pick overall in the draft that they got from the Bills last year in the Sammy Watkins trade to move up just three spots in the first round? No, I do not. So if they do, great. You say, yeah, you shake hands, and you run away before he changes their mind. But I don't think that's an offer the Browns are going to make. Now, is it enough of an offer to get their 12th pick in the second round? You willing to move down three spots for an extra two? I'm guessing Giant fans probably wouldn't. I mean, I have to see who is on the board and what the values are and who's left in the Giants pick at 9 before I would give an opinion as to whether or not I would consider that. But, look, I think the Giants will be open. They always listen to potential trades. I think, like most years, there's a better chance they move down than they move up. But I think odds are they probably stay put and draft a player they think can help them for a long time, and there's nothing wrong with that either. You don't want to get too cute. Now, you'd be creative and you'd be aggressive, but you don't want to be too cute either. 201-939-4513. Charlie in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, John. How are you?
You must be having fun with all the Patriot fans up there this week, Charlie.
Yeah, I know. I knew it. You know, he's the greatest coach ever. He's the greatest quarterback ever. You know, the greatest cheating coach ever. But whatever, you know, and they didn't win the game. They lost.
Charlie, hold on a second. That's not fair. The Patriots
that
were down.
Is fair.
No, it's not. The Patriots are down 10 points in the fourth quarter. Their team against the best defense in football puts together two 60-plus yard drives and scores two touchdowns to take the lead. Was it a bad play call? Absolutely. But guess what? Malcolm Butler still had to make an unbelievable play to read that route, cut in front of the wide receiver, and catch the football. He did have to do that. Be fair.
And that was an interference penalty, too.
No, it wasn't. That was bang-bang. It was almost simultaneous, Charlie.
Yeah, it was bang-bang. You're right. It was banging right out of the way, man. But anyway, I don't want to get into that because the thing is, the Patriots defense, again, losing the game. Just like Eli drove down twice. Seattle drove down twice. They should have lost the game.
That's fair.
End of story.
And that's fair.
But let's go on to this stuff. Okay, I'm tired of people saying Rhule is done. In 2013, he was in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why he was in the Pro Bowl, because he had a guy beside him called Will Hill, who was a great safety. And they also had they could stop the run. So it allowed Rhule to play the position that he was meant to play. This year,
that's all fair.
We didn't have Will Hill. They had Johnny Depp's out there. They had, you know, Stevie
Depp's.
Brown with a bad knee. I mean, and then they had people falling all over the place. He had to do so many more things.
Quentin Depp's, by
That's
the way.
Why he was so frustrated, you know?
No, look, hey, look, Charlie, look, and I said it when they called up about Onshore Rhule. He admitted that he did not have as good of a season as he's had in the past, and that's true. He didn't. No one's disagreeing with that. But the question is, why? Was it age? Or like you said, was it the fact that everything around him was falling apart and he's trying to cover for other guys? So, and is
exactly.
he getting taken out of position? And I think that
he's
could...
only 32.
And I think that's definitely part of the reason. How big of a big of the part of the overall picture it is, I honestly, it's hard for me without sitting there and analyzing every play on the coach's tape with, you know, Dave Merritt up there. It's hard for me to say yes or no, but I do think that was a factor.
Yeah, I think it was a big factor. Not having Will Hill there was a big factor. And the other thing about position strength, I think we have strength in the defensive end, or at least in the pass rush area, because we still have Wynn. Wynn played really well.
I didn't bring him up. Good point.
JPP comes back. You got Wynn, you got JPP, you got Moore, you got Harris, and you can even throw Kennard in there, because that's what Spags will use. He'll utilize his strength of a pass rush, and he'll probably utilize him in the NASCAR or the Four Aces, whatever you want to call it.
I agree with that.
I think that's a strong position as long as JPP comes back. If he doesn't, then, yeah, we're going to have to, do something.
Now, but, Charlie, in fairness, though, you have to say over the course of the year, you had a good production the last six or so games, but the first half of the year, there wasn't quite the consistent pressure you would like to see. When they were playing Dallas and Indy.
The guys we should have been playing. We didn't play Ayers enough. We kept playing Kiwi.
Ayers played
a lot. We didn't play anybody, and we didn't play Kennard. I mean, Kennard had a hamstring there for a little while.
Correct.
But we didn't utilize him in the rush. And that was part of Fuel's problem, and that's why he's gone. But I think the personnel is there. I think we have the personnel. I think maybe in the draft you pick up some guy that is raw but has some talent, maybe in the fourth, fifth, sixth round type of guy for a pass rusher, and I think that would be great.
Okay.
So I think that's a strength is, like I said, as long as JPP comes back. I think – and the thing is, you're going to have a really short show today if you're just talking about the Giants' strength because there's so many other holes to talk about. But, I mean, yeah, basically the quarterback – and the cornerbacks, that seems to be about the biggest strength, and I think the D ends are strong. But middle linebacker, to me, is we got to get a middle linebacker. We got to get somebody besides Beeson. Beeson's got to be plan B. He can't be plan A. And I still say we go get McClain off Dallas. He's a free agent. He's a great linebacker. He's young. And I don't think he's going to want a boatload of money, but I'm sure he wants to get paid because I'm sure that Dallas didn't pay him much for that one-year deal.
Now, Charlie, the thing about McClain, though, too, and again, he hasn't had the serious injuries that Beeson has had, but he was in and out of the lineup all year for Dallas last year. He had nagging hamstring. I think he had a knee. He had a back. So he's a guy that had some injury issues last year for the Cowboys, too. So I'm not saying that's something that you put up a red flag and say I'm not going to even look at him at all, but it is something to keep in mind when you analyze whether or not he's a guy you would want to try to target in free agency.
I don't think his injuries, he played most of the year.
No, he did.
The last four or five games.
No, he
but
did.
The thing is, he kept coming back. He didn't, it wasn't like he was out for the rest of the year. He kept coming back and playing through whatever he needed to.
And then he had concussions at the end of the year. He had the two games where he had to leave with the head injuries, right?
Yeah, so you can't, whatever. But so anyway, I hope they bring Roll back, but they've got to find somebody to partner with him that is going to have the same skill and same strength that Will Hill had. And if they don't get another safety like that, then, it's not going to matter who they got back there because they got to, Will Hill was a guy that could stop the run. He could get people set up. He made plays. I mean, and I think that's why Roll didn't have a great year, and I think that's why he was frustrated because he knew he was doing stuff that he shouldn't be doing, and he had to compensate for other plays, and he wasn't going to go out there and say, I had to compensate for depth on this play.
Oh, yeah.
I had to do this and do that,
Yeah, Anchorol does not make excuses. You're right. I appreciate the call, Charlie. Thanks, man.
Okay, John.
I'm actually proud of Charlie. He started with something positive, talking about the defensive ends, and he was positive on Anchorol. He didn't bring his customary big bucket of ice water to throw on the parade. Good job, Charlie. Having on his, he can't give a prediction until after the draft and free agency, so I can't ask for a prediction from Charlie quite yet. 201-939-4513, that's not fair. Jordan in Colorado Springs. Jordan, what's going on?
Hey, Big John, how you doing?
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, not much. Hey, I gotta say, I agree with a lot you've been saying as far as the gaps that we gotta fill here in the off season. But I gotta tell you, I don't mean to start off on a bad foot, but as a Giants fan, been one for years. I was born in '88. I think I was a Giants fan in '92. Okay. my biggest frustration, especially in the Coughlin era. Off-season is very quiet. We do a lot of re-signs. We do a lot of one-year show-me deals. I feel like the biggest off-season move we made you know, which wasn't even a move, it was just a draft, was Odell Beckham last year. You know, everything else really hasn't, you know, it wasn't that big. You know, I every year I say, man, we got to make some serious moves.
Well, I mean, Jordan, just keep in mind, last year, all right, you in free agency, mind you, you signed your starting running back, you signed a big money starting cornerback. You signed two offensive linemen that were supposed to be starters for you last year. So those are pretty significant additions you made in four different spots of new starters.
You're absolutely right. And when we got Roger Cremonti, I was like, hey, you know what? That's going to be great for us. That's going to do good. But at the end of the day, at the end of the year, it didn't, you know, it didn't produce the results that we want, right? Rashad Jennings, he's a great running back. I you know what? No. He's a good running back, okay? I'm not going to go off and say he's great. He's a good running back. He has a lot of potential. He can grow to be, you know, a great running back. But, you know, he got hurt. He's got that injury, you know. I don't know what he's going to be like this season. And you already know how running backs are, you know, especially if we were to ever get back. I mean, I know we got Ben McAdoo calling the offense now, but if we were to ever get back to – you know, that ground and pound, run the ball Giants offense, okay? Real Giants football, like back when Parcells had it, okay? I mean, Rashad Jennings isn't going to be able to carry the workload, you know?
Well, that's why you have Andre Williams.
Well, yeah, we have Andre Williams, but here's the thing. You know, when we had Earth, Wind, and Fire, all three of those guys were good. You know, they were decent enough to where they could share the workload, and it was great. You know, I feel like we need a big... We need another Brandon Jacobs, you know. We need to go out there and make some serious moves. You know, I know there's a little bit of cap space, and I know we have our own free agents that we're going to want to decide on who we're going to want to keep and everything like that, but this is a show-me year. You know, this is a show-me year. This is a win-or-lose year, or winner-get-out, whatever, you know, the GM says.
Oh, sounds like we lost Jordan. Sorry about that, man. Give us a call back if you want to put your right back on, Jordan. Sounds like we had a phone connection issue there. 201-939-4513. Call us right back. I'll get you right back on. Sorry about that. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta. Derek, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How's it going this morning?
It's going all right, Derek. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. Hey, now everybody knows that, you know, most people say that the free agency affects what you do in the draft. But do you think that the combine affects what you do in free agency?
Does the combine affect what you do in free agency? I would say no.
Okay. So I was thinking, like, if the Giants go to the combine and look at these top three, you know, so-so tackles that's coming out, like Brandon Sheriff, Pete, and maybe Flowers.
Yeah.
And they don't wow them. And so, you know, they say, okay, we need to probably get a offensive lineman in free agency. And they go out and maybe pick up Orlando Franklin or something like that. So we get to the draft, and, you know, we're probably not going to look for a lineman first at the ninth pick. Now, I don't think that the Giants' receiving core is as strong as you think it is. And I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that?
All right. So – out of, you know, reading Pro Football Focus, Randall, out of 45 receivers that cut at least 50 passes, he's number 36. And some reports say his route running is atrocious. All right. He did come out a little bit like the end of the season, but before that, you know, he was kind of lost. All right. So I don't know if he's still there yet. The other players that we have on our team, Harris and Preston and all those guys, I think they're good third or fourth wide receivers.
I agree with that.
But they're not going to be number one.
No, but you have your number one. It's Beckham. You don't need another number one.
Okay, so I'm going to Cruz. Cruz has been hurt 3 out of 5 years, okay? And with a patella tendon, I saw a report out there. You can probably look it up. Out of 24 players that had a patella tendon, 19 of them didn't make it back that played more than 16 games in the career. The ones that came back and played over 3 years, out of the rest of them, they all were around first to second year draft pick.
I think to say he was hurt 3 out of 5 years is a little bit strong. The first year, they put him on IR to kind of hide him, I think. That wasn't like a – that was a hamstring. That wasn't a structural thing.
He played six games. Well, didn't he play like three games? He played three games.
Honestly, I'm not even sure he got into a game that year, to be honest with you.
Hamstring, are they hiding him? You know, he didn't play. He's been hurt 3 out of 5 years, according to the records.
I hear you, but he also played most of the year 2 years ago when he hurt his knee at the very end of the season. But I see your point. And look, Derek, I'm not saying there's a guarantee Cruz is coming back. I think it's a big question how good he's going to be this year. I agree with you. But let me put it this way. And I agree, is the wide receiver position, you know, one of the strongest in football? No, I don't think it is. But you have Cruz under a big money contract. You have Ruben Randle, who I think, like I said, can be a good number three and maybe become a decent number two. And then you have Beckham, who's obviously a monster. With those types of resources already in the position, I don't think you can go out there and then spend another high draft pick or big money in free agency to further augment that position. I think you already have too many resources in there to put another big piece into it. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but right. This is my other point. Okay, so we know Beckham's going to be number one, right? But out of, like, Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, none of those guys are number one. All of them guys are number ones. None of them have Super Bowls. Okay, so we need another guy. We need another guy with help. And if you're sitting there at number nine and Amari Cooper is there, you don't take him?
Honestly, I would have to see who else is on the board, Derek. But let me put it this way. Let's take a look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl the last few years. How many of those teams have super quality number one and number two wide receivers? Do the Patriots? Nope. Do the Ravens? Nope. Do the Seahawks?
Let's just
nope.
Take Patriots out because Patriots never have. They're always there and they never have anybody.
And that's what I'm saying.
Randy Moss.
No, look, Derek, go through the Super Bowl winners the last 15 years. I'll go back 15 years with you now. Go through all the winners. Tell me which one of those teams had monster one and number two wide receivers on them, or even one monster number one wide receiver for that matter. What, Santonio Holmes on Pittsburgh? Come on.
Probably.
I mean, Santonio Holmes isn't a speck on Odell Beckham's behind.
He's a monster. Oh, Antonio Brown is a monster. He's probably at ranked at probably the number one wide receiver in the league right now.
Antonio Brown's great. I said Santonio Holmes when the Steelers won a championship. Antonio Brown didn't win a championship with the Steelers. Santonio Holmes did.
All right. You're right about that.
I'm just saying, if you go back over the last 15 years, you're hard-pressed to find one top five wide receiver on any of these teams, let alone two top 10 or top 15 guys. It just hasn't happened.
So just keep that, forget about the rest of the wide receivers, and just hope it works out then. I think the Giants are well aware on when you neglect a Robert after David Wilson's saga last year. I think they're well aware of you just cannot depend on an injured person being your starter.
No, Derek, and that's fair. But look, even if Cruz comes back as 70% of himself, okay, the last six games of last year, what did you think of the Giants' passing offense?
Well, you know, first of all, I think Cruz is going to start this on the year on a pub list.
No, he might. He might. That's possible. But here's my point. Even if Cruz does start on the pup list, Derek, last year for the final six games with Beckham and Randle as your 1-2, don't you think the Giants' passing offense was good enough?
It was good enough, I think.
But well, so there you go. That's my point.
That's because at the end, but we still was 3-3 the last six games, wasn't we?
No, we were.
That's not good enough.
But look at Eli Manning's numbers in those games. Was it the passing game's fault that the team was 3-3 in those final games?
No, but you know what? I don't trust Ruben Randle.
I know, Derek, and look, I hear you, and I'm not saying that the Giants' wide receiver situation is perfect. Could it be better? Yeah. Is it as good as it was when they had Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks both at 100%? No, it's probably not. But I think there are bigger weaknesses elsewhere that you have to put resources into before you put in more resources to wide receiver. That's all I'm saying.
So
you know what I mean?
If you say, all right, let's say we only take three players out of a free agency. because we're not going big this year. Let's say we go get Orlando Franklin, maybe a Dan Williams, and let's say a Sergio Brown as a safety.
Okay.
Those could be done. You've already eliminated most of your issues that you have right now. Now, to me, if I can't pass up Amari Cooper if I see him out there.
First of all, I'm not sure you can have the money to sign all three of those guys, by the way.
You don't think so? Dan Williams, Orlando Franklin, and Sergio Brown? You don't think we have enough? We may be, if we restructure Eli's contract, we could have up to almost $40 million in salary cap.
Keep in mind, Orlando Franklin is probably a top two offensive tackle in free agency, right? How much money does the top two or three offensive tackles in free agent usually get? They usually get Will Beatty money. You going to go out there and pay another offensive tackle Will Beatty money?
Well, Beatty's making $8 million.
Yeah, and that's what the top two or three offensive tackles usually make.
$40 million leaves you a whole lot of room. I mean, if you spread out it and bonuses and how the NFL does it, if you spread out of his contract, that's $8 million out of maybe $40 that you have. Yeah, I'll give it to him immediately. And how much does a tackle take to get in here? $5 million? I don't know how
a
much
defensive
a tackle
costs, you mean?
What, $3-4 million?
A good defensive tackle probably would have cost more than
that. Where else is the money going to go?
The money's going to go to
JPP and Eli.
You got to re-sign JPP. You got to figure out you got to sign two safeties, by the way, not just one. You got to sign at least two. So you got to figure that out. What are you doing at linebacker? That's another question you have to ask. You have the rookie pool, obviously, which is $6 million.
Well, there's the draft.
Ah, shoot. Sorry, Derek. I did not drop you there. I don't know what's going on with the lines, but sounds like we lost Derek there. All right. Give us a call tomorrow, Derek, when we'll pick this up again. We got 8 minutes, couple of calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the call, say what's up to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's up, man?
Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Yeah, Drew, make it quick. We're running low on time,
all
right?
I'm going, yeah.
Thanks, pal.
First and foremost, man, I agree with you, man. Right now, yeah, we don't, the receiving core, we might not be the number one in the league, but I think pretty much that's our strong suit right now. Could it be better? Yeah. So, no, we don't need to be looking at a receiver just yet. To me, man, going to your other question, I think the last good set of receivers that, you know, for the Super Bowl, I might go with Irvin and Harper in Dallas. I know Harper, you know, faded away later on, but, you know, in terms of Super Bowl receivers, I'd probably go with those.
Well, how about Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey with the Broncos in the late 90s? That's a pretty good pair, too.
Yeah, I would go with that too. But yeah, but your point is yeah, it's been a while since some receivers blew.
Well, you
it
know
up
what?
Like
I'm trying
that.
To remember, Drew. Was Harrison and Wayne both their starting wideouts when Peyton won his Super Bowl with the Colts?
Oh, you know what? I know Harrison. Yeah. I think
it was right
with them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. There you go. The coach. And that was that. That wasn't that long. That was what about?
What was that, 07?
5 years ago?
I think that was 07, right, when Peyton won with the Colts, if I remember right.
Okay, so there you go, right there. But at any rate, man, my question was this, man. You know, let me get to my point. My question is, you know, I was listening to earlier where they was talking about, I think it was Nugs talking about trading Nassif. My question is this, do we really want to trade Nassif? I think, you know, from us making that draft pick and putting – you know, a lot of eggs in the basket and doing this and that and everything else. I'm not so sure now that I want to get rid of Nassif. I know Eli still has a few years left, but, I guess my point is when Eli goes, whenever it is he's going to go, I don't want to go through these quarterback hassles again. On the flip side, you know, I think it's kind of unfair. You know, if Eli's going to play 3 or 4 years, then yeah, you might be killing Nassif's career. Just, you know, that's what my question is, and what do you think about that? I'm going to let you go.
Hey, I appreciate it, Drew. Thanks, man. Frankly, I still don't know if you're getting better than what you used on Nassif in a trade anyway. I got to be honest with you. And is a team going to trade more than a fourth-round pick? Plus, remember, the Giants traded up to get him. You know, for a guy that's done well in, you know, a couple preseason games in 1 year, I think that's probably a little premature. So I want to keep Nassif. Look, he's a good backup quarterback right now. He's a young guy. You're getting better. if he gets closer to the end of his contract, his rookie deal, and you say, well, you know, teams really are banging on the door for this guy, then you move him, sure. But I don't think you move him now. I think he's a good young backup quarterback, and you go with it. And when Manning did have Harrison and Wayne that year, they won the Super Bowl. That was a 2006 season, 2007 Super Bowl. Harrison, 95 catches, Wayne, 86 catches. So that was by far the best dual wide receiver combination to win the Super Bowl over the last, you know, 15, 20 years or so. I'm still trying to go through the guys in my head, but no one else pops out as being a super dynamic wide receiver combination. 201-939-4513. Two more calls. We got about 4 minutes. We'll have to get through them relatively quickly. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland next. Shakes, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, John?
How are you doing, Shakes? What do you got today?
I'm good, man. I'm going to try to make this real quick because Dirk was going off. But I agree with a lot of stuff you said. But with the running back situation, I think Jennings is supposed to, you know, he should get the main carries, but I think we need a scat back there. So, like, a guy, like, if we can get in the later rounds, like Amir Abdullah from Nebraska.
I think he's a good guy to target. I agree.
Oh, man, he's a beast. And or my guy from the U, Duke Johnson, I love him. So either one of those guys, and they can help out in special teams too, which brings me to this. The wide receiver situation, I agree with you. You don't need to have so many dominant wide receivers. But my thing about this team is I think we like a wide receiver special team dude away. Like
it's Ted Ginn?
Another guy in the later rounds. Like, I like the kid Tyler Lockett from Kansas State.
Okay.
He's a good guy. Philip Dorsett from the U. Justin Hardy, East Carolina. Devin Smith, now he might be in like the second round, but that kid from Ohio State, he's nice.
No, he is.
And the last thing I wanted to say is about Shaq Thompson. Now, Shaq Thompson is kind of dropping because they're starting to realize that he can't really shed the blockers.
Yep.
So what I think about Shaq Thompson is he could be so dominant if you can give him some room and some space to run back there. So, like, you got to have some clogs in the middle.
You know, Shakes, to me, Shaq Thompson is Shaq Thompson's your perfect weak side linebacker. You put him away from the tight end, you cover him up with a defensive lineman, and you let him run sideline to sideline. That's how you use him to his best of his ability.
Yeah, and you need some clogs in the middle, man, so he can run, man. But the linebacker that I really love, again, the U, Denzel Perryman, man. He's all over the field. That's my man. He know how to cover everything, man. Now, he's small. So that's why I'm hoping that he drops to the second round to us. But love Denzel Perryman. I got some more linebackers, but that's another conversation for later, John.
Sounds good, Shakes.
I just wanted to chime in a little bit.
Appreciate it, dude. Have a good one, man. Thanks, Shakes. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show is Keith in Kentucky. Keith, bring it. You got 2 minutes. Keith. Hello, Keith.
Can you hear me?
What?
Clear or not?
What? Keith, try that one more time.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you okay, Keith. Make your point pretty quick. Nope, sounds like we lost him. See, we need to get the better cell phone coverage down there in Kentucky. Sorry, Keith. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good jobs on Twitter. I tried to reply to some of your tweets over the course of the show. I'll go through a couple right now since I have a minute before the show is going to end. Let's see. What do we got? From at @big-07088, Roll Show, no signs of slowing down. Burhays in waiting. At Elo Bajo, can we expect anything from Stevie Brown? Was impressed with his interceptions a couple years ago. I don't think you can hand him a starting job. I think you can bring him in here and let him try to earn a role. But I don't think you can hand him the starting job next year based on what he did this year. Ben Gruen, do you think Kennard will be the number two middle linebacker behind Beeson or McLean again? I think Kennard fits in long-term as your starting Sam on the outside. I really do. But I think he could be an emergency backup on the outside. So I think that's something to look at. Let's see, what else do we got here? Oh, and that's a good one. Elo Bajo, the Rams, the greatest show on turf with Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. So in the last 10 years, the only real good dual wide receiver combo is really Harrison and Wayne. You go back 15 years, you get into the whole Bruce and Holt thing. That's a good one. Then the Broncos with Rod Smith and McCaffrey. So I think that about covers it, right? You had the Bucks in there. I'm sorry, Greg? You know, Plaxico, obviously. And I'm an idiot. Cruz and Knicks. duh. How that didn't pop into my head right away, I have no idea. Wow. Well, yeah, there you go. So, again, it's happened, but it doesn't happen as often as you might think. Because a lot of times you put too many assets into one position, it's hard to fill elsewhere. The reason the Cruz and Knicks thing worked is because both were on rookie contracts pretty much. They hadn't gotten paid yet. So that's why that works. Torrey Holt, I don't think, had gotten his big deal yet back when the Rams won in the early 2000s. So that's why that works. And Burris was obviously a monster number one wide receiver, too. Mike Farmer on Twitter brings that up. True, but they didn't have that monster number two necessarily. So that looks like all the stuff on Twitter. Good job, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm not sure. There's a lot going on tomorrow with things going on around the office. I might have DeTino or Lance coming to do the show. We will see. But we'll be back with you either way at noon tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day, and we'll see you mañana.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.
One
on
the end zone punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.